Romans chapter 39, Paul writing to the Romans, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's often viewed that the book of Romans is hard to read. I have read it. It's hard to read. You have to read it, 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 read it. And I'm telling you, if you've ever heard the scripture, or if you've ever heard it said that the Bible will only open up certain parts to your ears when it's that time, that's how many times you have to read Romans. Because every time you read it, something else jumps out at you. And you will always hear Romans 8, Romans 8, Romans 8, Romans 8. This morning it jumped out at me again. And so we read that last verse to put us in gear. And as we do, let us join our hearts together in prayer. Our Father, we would ask that you would lift us up, that these words are not mine, these are not my thoughts. That the direction comes from you, guided by the Holy Spirit through the power of Jesus Christ. That we set aside our labors and worries and thoughts about anything outside this building. That we dwell right here, learning your word, strengthening us for the week to come, showing us where we failed the week before, and how much blessings we actually have in you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, let us bind ourselves together. And all of his children said, Amen. Now, several days ago, for whatever reason, I came across a cartoon book left laying around in the house of Calvin and Hobbes. Now, not everybody in this church knows who Calvin and Hobbes is, so I will explain the cartoon Calvin and Hobbes. Sam Watserson, I'm pretty sure I got that right, wrote the cartoon from 1985 to 1995, and then he retired from it. He said it was too taxing to continue to write it. Yet Charles Schulz wrote Peanuts to Charlie Brown up until the day he couldn't physically do it anymore. But Calvin and Hobbes centers around this little mischievous Henry boy and his stuffed tiger. Orange and black affair. And when it's just Calvin off by himself, the tiger comes to life. And the tiger's name is Hobbes. And all of Calvin's life centers around having conversations with his greatest best friend, this stuffed tiger named Hobbes. Nobody else ever sees that tiger come to life. But in these different cartoons, when it's just him, that tiger is alive. And it leads to some pretty funny cartoons and some thought-provoking ones. I happen to love Calvin and Hobbes. I have read all of them. I read them all again. There are several that make me laugh. The boy has an incredible imagination. He sees the world through a different way. He is very mischievous and very ornery. Not unlike me. Now, I'm 46 and I have settled down and tried to behave a little bit more. Don't ask my wife. One particular cartoon that always has made me laugh, Calvin has built himself a fort in the snow. He has taken a high hill and built himself a fort. The cartoon shows him looking down on the surrounding valley, and he's got the fort at the top of the hill shaped around him just like this. And he's got a gigantic pile of snowballs, and he's waiting on a victim, namely Hobbes, who's out there lurking. And as he stands in front of it, he talks about what a great fort it is. This is the most impenetrable fort ever. The fortifications I have laid, I have a massive amount of artillery. I am supplied with ammo. This fort can never be taken over. I can look out across the valley and see that nobody can surprise me. This fort cannot fall. And in the next frame, you see Hobbes standing behind him at the top of the hill where the back of the fort's open with a snowball. And the boys turn around looking and says, uh-oh. How simple is that? Makes me laugh every time I see it because I think about the fact that I would like to be the guy with the snowball sneaking up. But as I'm reading it, I got to thinking about that word, fortifications. What's it mean? You know, it's a Latin word. It's derived, if you start going all the way back, and I know there's at least one school teacher in here, but I did my homework and read about it. If you take it all the way back, fortifications means to make strong, to protect against. Way back there. In its basic root form, that's what it means. Fortifications. Now, because I'm a history buff, and because I love that kind of stuff, and because we live in the great state of Maryland, there are a lot of old forts around here. There are two that people have forgotten about. There's one right here in this county that a lot of people, oh yeah, old Fort Frederick, yeah, that was, what'd they do at that fort again? Yeah, they was out there, right? That fort was out there during the Civil War, and I heard somebody explaining this one time, and I'm missing in on it. I heard them talking about, oh yeah, that Fort Frederick, that's where the Civil War took place. Boop, boop, boop. I said, you're wrong. It was a little bit earlier than that. He goes, well, I meant Revolutionary War. I said, you're wrong again. It's surprising how this great fort built during the French and Indian War has been forgotten about. How many people in here remember that Fort Frederick was built to stop the Indians from coming to get us? Did the Indians come through anyway? Yes. Is the fort protect anything from anything? No. But it still stands. Fort Frederick. I often laugh about that. I've been to Fort McHenry. I love being at Fort McHenry. I'm telling you right now, if you stand out there at Fort McHenry, and because I work for the gas company, Ballmer Gas and Electric, I can go in a place where none of you all can go. I can actually go down in front of the fort in a restricted area. And I can stand on the bank and look at that harbor where Francis Scott Key stood on the boat watching Old Glory flying even through the complete and absolute bombardment of Baltimore by the British. And I tell you right now, big 6 foot three, big man standing there and cries every time. Every time. But what did that fort protect? Nothing. They still beat the snot out of Baltimore. They still captured what they wanted to, but the fort still stands. When I went to work preparing this sermon, I went over Romans 8 and I read it. As a matter of fact, that's your homework this week. I want you to go back and read all of Romans 8. I don't care if you understand it or not. You won't at first. Read it. Because as you read it, pieces of it are going to start to pop out. And probably one of the greatest misused quotes of the Bible comes from Romans 8, down around chapter 31. Does anybody know what it is off the top of their head? Don't you look at them Bibles and try that. I seen you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Fortifications. Fortifications. I started reading up on what all it meant. And so I'm going to help you understand Romans 8, and we're going to start in the fifth verse. So back up a little bit. Because really, if you want to know Romans, if you want to understand what Paul was doing, you've got to remember several things. Paul was a Roman citizen. He wasn't just a Jew first. He was a Roman citizen. And a Jew. And a smart one. Now he's converted and he's a Christian. Although they haven't used the word yet. He is Christ's whole, complete preacher. And he writes these beautiful letters. And he wrote this long letter to the Romans because underneath of all the turmoil that's going on under there, what was happening? Christianity was starting to grow. And Paul was writing about it. Get into fifth verse. This is going to sting a little bit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Now you're probably thinking, what? What's that got to do with the fort? I'm going to tell you. We each take our time at some point in our life
and begin to build up a little fortification around us, because we don't want things getting in that we don't want them to be. You may not like so-and-so down the street because he cuts his grass this way, and you want him to cut it this way because it always makes your grass look funny. So you won't talk to so-and-so, right? Don't tell me it ain't happened. Don't tell me people get mad at each other over the dumbest things. I've seen it. I've done it. It grows. You build a little fort. You never take your back in, but you always put something in front of you. Jesus Christ came to stop that from happening. Paul, writing to the Romans, says if you're putting a wall up in front of you to disconnect you from the love of Christ, you're building a fort that is destined to fail. And a man who stands forward and says this statement, I don't need to go to church on Sunday, and I don't need to know Christ to know that I'm a good person, cannot ever know the mind of Christ, never know the heart, never know the spirit. He is weak. Regardless of how strong he is, Paul, writing a letter to the Romans right here in chapter 8, has put it forth, a simple, straightforward, no punches pulled letter. He has said it straight out. Brothers and sisters, if you still seek the things of evil and those things that take you away from the love of Christ, you will take yourself away from it. But if you continue to seek, that's the word, underline, seek the Spirit of Christ, you will be strengthened. Now, what's that mean? A lot of people think that Christians have to walk around, they're all bunched in, you can't have any fun, you can't laugh at that. You ever seen that television show, America's Funniest Videos, where everybody's always falling down or doing something stupid? You know, there are people that think that Christians shouldn't watch that show. I watch that show and I cry from laughter. Especially when you know it's coming. When the dad is standing on the diving board, and the dad weighs 500 pounds, and the board is rated for 100 pounds, and he's always smiling at the camera going, ha-ha, watch this, and he jumps up and down, and when he comes down, the board breaks and throws him into the pool. You can't help but laugh at that. But if you listen to the world, you're not supposed to. The word is seek, which means we are constantly looking toward the Spirit. We are constantly in communication. We are constantly in prayer. Please guide me. Please help me. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall short. I'm going to make mistakes. But please, Holy Spirit, please be within me. Please guide me. Please strengthen me in those moments. When the weakness comes against me, build my wall up, strengthen me, bring my fortifications forth. Paul tells us that simply thinking that we can live a life devoid of Christ will be okay. In those first verses. Anybody ever hear this statement? I'm all right. I'll make it to heaven. Huh? Ever hear that? How many people you think make that statement is going to be in heaven? And this is not an either or. This is not a judgment thing. This is a factual statement. You know the difference between judgment and fact? Chris Neff, who used to attend here, gave out a great, great illustration of this. Here's a judgment. You know, speeding in your car makes you a bad person. That's a judgment. Fact, speeding in your car can get you caught and give you a ticket. Fact, judgment. It's not a judgment to tell you that if you refuse to know Christ and you walk around saying, I don't need that, heaven is for real, I believe in heaven and I believe in God, but I don't need all that churchy stuff, I'm doing okay and I'm going to make it there because I'm a good person. The facts are, you ain't. Your fortifications are weak. It pains me when I hear people saying that. Those who choose not to follow him put themselves in jeopardy of being lost forever and open themselves up to weakness, even when they think they got it great. This year is the year 2014. This is the month, July. Does anybody know what happened tomorrow, 100 years ago? Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated. What happens next? By August, the Great War begins. World War I, 100 years ago, this year began. I don't build up or try to say that war is great, but it's something that we need to study constantly. If I had studied anything at all, you know, the Great War, World War I, the Great War was wretched. It was dig and die, dig and die. Lessons learned from this made so many people afraid that they never wanted to ever suffer again. And France set about building fortifications to never let that happen, ever, never again. It was something I know you've heard called the Maginot Line. Maginot Line stretched from the bottom end of the border of France across Prussia, Germany, that area, and up to Belgium. And it was magical. It wasn't just a stone wall. It was five rows deep of fortifications. There were armament encasements. There were hospitals along the way. There was a railroad connecting it so that if they were ever attacked again, that they would be able to stop the invaders and that nothing would ever take France down again. That worked out so well, didn't it? In 1940, France was felled by Germany in the Blitzkrieg War and occupied. Do you know why? Is there any major history buffs in here other than me? All right, well, I'm going to explain it to you. The Maginot Line went from the bottom end up to Belgium because France believed that Belgium was their friend. And up there was the Ardennes Forest, which they said no tank could ever navigate. And so, oh, we don't need to worry about that. We got the Belgians up there. We got everything up there on that end. They can't get through up there because no tank can get through there. This is World War I thinking. No tank can get through there. They can't get us from that end. We got our friends, and we're going to spend all our money building this, and we're not going to do anything to take care of the other end of things, which is build up the forces we need behind us. Where did Germany come through? The Ardennes Forest. The panzer tanks rolled through there and took the trees out with them as they went. Brothers and sisters, that's us. Even as Christians, if we say, I got this, I don't need nothing else. I got this here book, I don't need nothing else. You've left your Ford open. You need this. You need prayer. You need constant watch. You need to constantly seek out Christ. You need to be aware of where the enemy comes to you. Germany didn't go against the Maginot Line. They went up to the other end of it and walked around it. And France went, we give. Do you know where the enemy comes to us at? How many of you have friends who are not Christians? How many of them talk to you like you're not a Christian? How many of them remind you daily of what you may have once been? Not everybody in this room, but some of us. There is a great story that I love. I wish I knew who it was. I heard it on the radio one day about a barber who was a priest. Not a priest. Yes, you can be both. You can hold a job down and you can cut hair and you can preach. And he was in there one day cutting hair on a fellow who was a big old farmer from out somewhere in the other end of the county. And that farmer was in there, and the men that were in there lined up was listening to this farmer talk, and he was blah, 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 blah. I mean, he was letting it roll. And they were snickering to themselves because this big old six-foot preacher was trimming around his head and wasn't saying anything. And he had started on this end, and the guy was blah, 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 this bad word, that bad word, this, that, and the other. And when he got around to the other side, everybody in the barbershop was watching, and that big old barbershop preacher grabbed him by this ear and said, hey! Does that look like a septic to you? That's how easily the enemy gets in. Because we let him. We laugh at it. Somebody tells an improper joke. I am surrounded. You are surrounded by the enemy. Not just here where you can see it. But over here, back here, when I was in school, we had to take these eye tests. You had to stand at a line, and you had to read the chart. And some smart alecky kid went in there one day and memorized the chart and stood there with his eyes closed and recited the eye words, you know, the letters. I got in a little trouble for that.
I thought it was funny. But we had to do this thing where you stood there and they checked your peripheral vision, how far you can see out of the corners of your eye. And they would bring the hand forward and forward and forward until you say, "Hey, I can see that." I don't know if they even do that anymore. I couldn't behave myself, say, "No, I can't see it yet. No, not yet. Not yet. Not. Oh, there they are. Pow! What?" But it proved that back here, you can't see them. Back here, you can't see. The enemy doesn't walk to your face. He goes all the way around you. Back to Romans chapter 8. Down to verses 12 and 13. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation." This is your fortification. "But it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it." Verse 13, "For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Fortification. Building it up. Getting yourself ready. We often succumb to those who say the things that we would normally turn away from. I work in the construction industry. It's how it is. And it's a rough place to work. Fortunately for me, I'm big enough that I don't have to put up with a lot of it. If they come over and start getting at me, I'll stand up and move them like a cow. "You need to go over here away from me." And I'll take them away. Not everybody can do that. And so Paul, writing these words, said, "Seek, seek, seek the Spirit. Seek the will of the Father. Seek to live by His means. Not yours. And you will be strengthened. You will be made whole. You will be made ready to go." But the truth is, we cannot complete, just like that Maginot line, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, and if my French teacher was here, she would straighten me out in a hurry, but she's back there teaching the children. We don't make it complete because we only think about what's in front, what we see, what's right here. Hey, it's coming at me from here. Little tap behind. There's a joke. I know some of you have heard it about the preacher's wife to come home one day. She had a big fancy box under her arm. She pulled the box out and she said, "I bought a dress." And she went in and put the dress on and come back out and showed it for her husband. And it was this flaming red affair that just spoke, "Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo!" And the preacher said, "Hey, in the world did you buy that?" She said, "You know, I was just walking down the street and I saw that thing in the window and I stood there thinking, man, that is something else. And so I went in and I tried it on and I kept thinking, man, I look pretty good in this thing." He said, "What in the world was going on? You had the devil at you." She said, "Yeah, he was standing beside me going, 'You look in that thing.' The preacher said, 'Why didn't you tell him to get behind me, Satan?' She said, 'I did.' And he said, 'It looks good from back here too.'" You have to be careful. You can't see what's behind you. How do you get around this? We have to build that which protects us. Going down to verse 28. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified." What's that mean? Paul's writing a lot of stuff there. What's that mean? I'll tell you what that means. Here's the simplest of those verses. He knew, God knew, that we were going to sin. And so what did He do? He created and set forth that Jesus would come down and save us, the man among many. And for those that love Him and seek Him, we will be justified in trying to keep the enemy away. And when we keep the enemy away, we will be glorified. And what's much more, not just here, but over there.
That's how you build your fortifications. That's how you lay it out in front of you. That's what God has said I'm going to do. That's what Paul is writing about. And you know how you build that fort? Fully trusting in Jesus Christ. Knowing you're going to mess up, but fully trusting in Jesus Christ. Fully. And now to that verse. On down to 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's say that all together. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son. I defy you to read that next part of that verse and not choke up. Not choke up. Paul wrote the words, a straightforward letter. He who did not spare his own son. Who in this room would be willing to give up their child to save others? That's hard. And yet, Jesus Christ, so pure, so perfect, sent down here to be destroyed for you, for me. If He loves us that much, who can be against us? If He will build us in and strengthen us that much, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him for all, how will He not also, along with Him, Jesus, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it that He condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. You understand what those words are? Fortified. We have been built a fortification in Jesus Christ that cannot fall, cannot be taken away, and cannot be invaded. Say amen.
Amen.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present, the future, nor any powers. Verse 39. Here we go. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah! You want to know what a fortification is? Read that verse every morning. Ain't no matter what that's built of strength and steel and whatever. You know, when they built the first forts, when they built them around the castles, they built them for people coming straight at the wall. Stop them from climbing the wall. They put points on them. What happened next? Cannons. And for a while, they could only shoot the cannon straight. And the forts still held for the most part. Then somebody figured out, point the cannon straight up and blow the thing up over top where there is no fort. Nothing we build can truly protect us. Our protection lies here. Lies what happened here. Our wall, where we can't see the danger, is built by Him. Nothing can separate us from God when we have Christ in our heart. No dangers. Nothing. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You now asking You to remind us to bear witness to these words. We come before You now asking us to lift us up in these moments. We come before You asking You to remind us that we can't build what protects us. Oh yeah, we can build a house, keep the rain off our heads and the snow out the front door. And we can build cars that are a whole lot safer than they used to be. But the truth of the matter is, nothing can save us from death except Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, that's who we need to place everything in. Knowing full good and well that 5 minutes after we leave this church, we're going to do something that cuts us away from it. But it will not take us away from the love of Christ, from the love of God, from the protection. It will not separate us, no matter what, no matter how, never, never, never. And Father, we do well to remind ourselves of that every day, that you who gave your only Son died to save us. Thank you, Father, for reminding us. In Jesus' name, we all band together. Amen.